Welcome to Take Note. This is the 47th episode of the podcast in which Adam and I, hello Adam.
Hi Ted.
Talk about notebooks and keeping a notebook and trying to make sure that we record the little moments that can so quickly pass us by in this life, and then we read some of those moments back to each other in podcast form. How you doing, Adam?
I am doing very, very well. My basement is cold. My feet are cold. But I am warm of spirit.
I'm doing very well. My feet are cold.
I should be wearing socks, Ted.
Hashtag basement life, I would say. Well, I'm 5 feet off the ground in the new house that I just completed here in Flood City, USA, Houston, Texas. I'm literally watching bolts of lightning flash through the air out the window in front of me. I'm at the new podcasting desk that my wife so generously constructed from IKEA components. She's not a carpenter. We're getting there, working on it. But I'm happy to be here, back for episode 47. We're going to kick things off with a segment that we call "What Do You Got?" We're really asking each other, what are some of the highlights or the lowlights from your notebook that you want to share with me and with our listening audience? So, Adam, what do you got?
Well, Ted, I do have something to share with you from my notebook, but first, I was just going to. Just going to mention that it has been a couple weeks since we recorded an episode, in part because you were moving, but also last week I texted you, "I'm in South Carolina and just a little drunk. Are we recording tonight?" And you said, "Haha, no." In my notebook today, I wrote, "Lady trying to jimmy open her fuel door with a letter opener." I was filling up the car with gas. And she was trying to get the little fuel door open. So I didn't actually write down fuel door. I wrote down gas cover. And I also made myself a note. What's the name for that gas cover? ? And I looked it up later. It's called a fuel door. It's a little door that covers your gas cap. And I remembered that one of my original ideas for this show was finding those little things. Like the little things that are part of your life that you don't even know the name of or you don't even think about. And fuel door would be one of them.
Well, I like, in this particular case, the fact that the real name of it is no more satisfying than
than gas cover.
Gas cover is actually far worse than fuel door.
Well, fuel door is what it should be called, so it's good.
Yeah.
A fuel door is what it is called. It's called a fuel door.
There.
That's the official name for it.
It's a fuel door. Honey, open the fuel door.
Put in the premium.
Some go-go juice is coming in. Fantastic.
Ted, what do you got?
This is a quote from the Wall Street Journal, which I read before. I read the first paragraph and a half of before it gets all fadey down the bottom.
Quote. I read the Wall Street Journal for the cartoons.
it's a quote, but it's actually starting as a quotation. Everyone started rowing in the same direction, said Gabby Rowe. That's a real quote from the Wall Street Journal.
Would it have been funnier if I said, I read the Wall Street Journal for the articles? Would that have been better than reading it for the cartoons?
No, actually, I think yours was spot on.
Great. Glad I analyzed it.
What do you got, Adam?
I wrote this on Easter. I wrote, "My favorite Easter memory is from 2001. I was an intern in London. A young woman who worked with me was, she was back the day after Easter." I can't read my writing. And she was sobbing at her desk because she left her Easter basket from her parents at their home instead of bringing it back into the city with her. And that's just, You know, I have an interesting relationship with Easter in that I always forget it's like a holiday that people care a lot about. And then people dress up. And then I see people, you know, I remember that I saw a young woman crying over an Easter basket that she left at home.
I would say that the Easter activity I partake in most frequently, what I would comes closest to an Easter tradition.
Is it sobbing?
Is identifying the most disturbing, uncanny, or terrifying humans dressed as Easter bunnies and sharing them with my coworkers. There was the one year where on the college campus there was an Easter egg hunt in which the Easter bunny was clearly hungover and even more clearly actually fully asleep while my wife and children posed next to him for the photograph. And then there was the old-timey Easter bunny at the kind of museum, the historic home, that was just a huge the interior skeleton of the bunny created these very rectangular shoulders that were at least 7 feet off the ground with this horrible demon bunny head with gaping eyes, as if to say old-timey people just didn't have any idea what they were doing and somehow thought this was entertaining.
The conundrum of Easter is like when you just go to the like the biblical meaning of the holiday, even that's a little, you know, questionable. But then you try to just respect people's differences, and so you try. Religious holidays. If I'm going to find the oddest religious holiday, like you're kind of splitting hairs. But then you throw the bunny into it. And anyways, I don't. I'm always processing Easter in my mind, and I think that young woman, 18 years ago in London, she's a big part of it. Just seeing her sobbing at her desk and like, oh man, this basket of candy, and I can get behind a basket of candy, but this basket of candy like had a real emotional resonance with her.
Yeah.
What do you got, Ted?
I'm leafing through I've actually been working with my log and jotter notebook that I believe we covered last time. I've really run this thing into the ground. It's spent some sweaty days in my back pocket during this whole move situation, and it's actually wearing, the cover is wearing away in sort of a cool way. I was at a local sandwich place that puts photos on the wall, rotating photo exhibits, local photographers, in this case, it was some longhorn cattle out in a field, and an old timer was looking at the photography and said, "I like a place that honors its longhorns," which, of course, in Texas means he very likely went to the University of Texas, the mascot being the Longhorns. But then I would run into them, but one more time on my way out of the restaurant when
you could say it was a Subway. We're eating fresh.
No, Subway known for their raising up of local photographers,
right? Yeah.
Not that's a thing they do now. Clip art of Subway stations from New York City in the 20s or whatever.
No, I think it's local photography and a rotating menu of $3 sandwiches. So you got to go on the right day.
As I was leaving, this old man and who was clearly his daughter were attempting to take a selfie beside a large Eiffel Tower, a topiary Eiffel Tower that was outside of a nearby antique store. And I stopped and offered to take their photo for them, which they begrudgingly accepted because
they wanted to do a selfie. This is a weird world.
But they were also sort of failing. It was clear they were failing at the selfie, but it was also clear they weren't so committed to the idea that they wanted another person to take it, but I offered, they didn't ask, I offered. And so we, this is the beautiful dance that we did. And the old man told me that his daughter was in Paris at that very moment. So it, we ended up putting a charming little bow on my observing of his movement through life, which I'm sure he appreciates, my careful analysis of his every step during lunch on that day. What do you got, Adam?
Well, I don't know what I think about pictures of beef on the walls where you can get a roast beef sandwich. But anyways, I wrote this, and this is, oh, this is something. Huh. I was reminded recently of my youth trip to Washington, D.C. with kids from my synagogue. I recall someone brought a VHS copy of Basic Instincts with them and played it in one of the limos. Why were we in limos? Where were the adults? I guess we ended up in the car without a chaperone. We may have gone from freeze-framing Sharon Stone straight to the Holocaust Museum. Also, we saw Rosie O'Donnell in Greece.
Let me just say that I, too, had my Basic Instinct experience. I think you could probably tag our generation, just hashtag Basic Instinct. Why? Why?
Yeah. I want to be clear. When I say that we may have gone from freeze-framing Sharon Stone, I was not doing any of that. I was very uncomfortable. Not that I was above it.
Your hands were sealed against your eyes, and your pinkies were in your ears the whole time, I'm sure.
I was afraid. I wasn't against it, but I was afraid of getting caught. By who? I don't know. What do you got, Ted?
There's a hallway in my office building, at one end of which is a reflective glass door. When you walk down the hallway toward the door, it is impossible not to observe my own gait. And every time I'm unsatisfied with what I see, and so every time I'm drawn to attempting a new walk.
Have you tried a saunter?
Tell me what a saunter means to you.
Yeah, it's a better walk. I don't know what to tell you.
I've gone so far as to try a runway walk, like super confident. I've done some subtle shifting where I kind of like, I think I have kind of a splayed walk is what I realize. I've got a little bit of a pigeon-toed thing going, so I've tried to kind of tighten it up, narrow it down. I've definitely attempted a little more of a shoulder swivel as I walk. And so I'm continuing my actual note here. I have decided I could easily change my persona by changing my walk. But I forget about it almost immediately until the next time I'm walking down that hallway watching my own gait.
You got to avoid that hallway, I think.
It's a vital hallway. This is the path to the bathroom. And the break room where the coffee is. So it's unavoidable. I'm not saying this in a negative way, but I just think it's very rare to have a chance to analyze the way that you walk. And it's just sort of this bizarre happenstance that at this angle, I can watch myself walk for like 12 to 14 steps, which when do you really have that opportunity? And there's rarely anybody else in the hallway, so I can really cut loose.
What just happened to your house?
That was a giant peal of thunder.
Wow.
Yeah.
I recommend you avert your eyes.
Always. It's the advice you took when Basic Instinct was playing in that limo. Right. And
throughout my trip to the Holocaust Museum. Just avert. Yeah.
Avert. All right, Adam, you're going to tell us about a trip you took to a special stationery store in Vancouver.
I'll do that. Is it weird that I addressed my inability to consider the Holocaust with a Sharon Stone Basic Instinct reference. I feel like I got very real there.
I also kid about Basic Instinct, but that was an intense film. That was not Revenge of the Nerds. So I think you swerved
back to Sharon Stone. Ted, I went to Vancouver a couple of weeks ago, and while I was in Vancouver, I went to a stationery store called Paper Yaw. I'm going to say that Paper Yaw was on Granville Island, but even while I was in Vancouver a couple weeks ago, I kept mixing up the names of all the neighborhoods. So that could be wrong, but there's a kind of a hipster market island underneath the highway that's in Vancouver, but I don't know, you can drive there. I don't know, it's tricky to get there.
And how are we spelling ya?
Well, I don't know. It's been a while, but I think it's PAPERYA.
Okay. We can confirm these things.
Paper Yaw on Granville Island. Wow, I could have done that just before I started talking about it. Anyways, I had a great time at Paper Yaw. It is as excellent of a stationery store as the people on the internet told me it was. I think I got recommendations from the Erasable podcast community, and nice. Also maybe from the Field Nuts, maybe. Nice. I don't know. And somebody at Erasable wanted to meet up with me while I was there, and I would have really loved to have done that, but I was there for work, and though I intended to try to meet up with them, I did not actually reach out to them because my schedule was up in the air. I was also in Greenville, South Carolina recently, and considered meeting up with a listener who helped us address a podcast episode feed problem, and I did not reach out to that person either. But listeners, just so you know, if I'm in your town, I'm thinking about you.
You could be the next listener that Adam ignores.
You could be the next listener who I vaguely reference after I return from a city.
Would you like to provide Adam with just a hint of guilt when he returns home?
Hey, I live on it. I live on guilt. So be nice to me. You'll never hear a word from me. And I will think of you forever.
Just
anyway, so I went into Paper Yaw, and I experienced something that you and I have talked about, and maybe we've talked about it on the podcast. Sometimes you go into a stationery store, and like you've got everything, but you also realize you need nothing. You have too much. But I enjoyed looking around with a couple of coworker friends who were there, and learned that. They were into bullet journaling as much as I was, and only learning this in the store, really, which was cool. What I decided to do, because I couldn't really figure out what I wanted to buy since I needed nothing, I had a few ideas, but I asked the clerks in the store, and they helped me narrow it down. They helped me confirm what I needed. I got a couple of limited edition roll bonds. I'm gonna say that these mini roll bond notebooks, those are the spiral bound notebooks. I used one in like December, so we would have talked about it a few months ago. I used a full-size one then, but I got a couple of mini ones. I'm gonna say they're about 3 inches by 3 inches, and one had illustrations of pasta on the cover, and the other had an illustration of a bird. And the nice people that worked at the Paper Yaw store, they confirmed that that's the way that they would go too when you didn't need anything, because the roll bonds are kind of hard to find in North America anyway, and then these are limited editions, so you know, like the Field Notes, once they're gone. But I really felt like if I didn't buy those right there and then, I would never be able to get those editions, because it just doesn't seem like there's even like an aftermarket resale sort of market for it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then I also got a couple multicolored pens, like click pens that have you know, the Field Notes click pen that has like the barrel is two parts and it twists off.
Oh yeah.
Well, I guess there's a style of, like, you know, it's almost the same pen. It might even be the same pen. It's definitely the same style, but the colors, the two halves of the barrels, are different. So I got a couple of those just for the whimsy of it. And then I was in a brewery on Granville Island right after that, and I saw that that brewery had the same, like they had that type of pen with the different colored barrels, but with their own logo on it.
Nice. So
maybe it wasn't that special.
Well, maybe they got it from the store.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, you're such an optimist. yeah, so I, cool.
What was the store like on the inside?
It was filled with stationery. yeah, it was just packed. It was packed with Field Notes. It was packed not with a lot of pencils. Pencils, I find, are good for stationery stores like that where you don't need anything because you can get a bunch of cheap things.
Yeah.
Even though you don't need them, you're happy to spend. There were not many pencil options there. There were expensive pen options, and there were just, they had every single type of notebook.
Wow.
And then they also had, like, loose paper, you know, like at a chain stationery store where you can buy, like,
right,
one big piece of, like, graphic paper that I don't know what anybody uses it for.
And you weren't tempted to buy, like, a sheaf of paper?
No, because I had to get through customs. No, I wasn't interested in buying a... my paper sheaf days are over, Ted. Yeah.
Very nice.
I wish I could remember more of what they had, but it was a few weeks ago, and I just only remember what I bought. But, you know, it was probably the best stationery store I've ever been in.
Okay. So I myself am traveling to Washington, D.C. for work in the next few weeks, and I was excited. I don't take a lot of work trips, so I was excited to pinpoint some stationery spots and build them into my itinerary. There's some old school fountain pen type places that sound kind of fun, not necessarily my speed. There's something called Bertram's Inkwell, and then there's Farney's Pens, which I'm guessing probably in the fountain pen world are very well known and probably respected. I that's all cool, but the ones that I zeroed in on were a little bit more in the, I think, maybe the paper yah territory. But the one I'm really excited about is called Jenny Bick Journals. If anybody has any thoughts about this place, or I don't, you know, if you've been there and you got some reflections, send us a message. Head over to our website, takenote.space. It doesn't sound like a website, but it is. Send us a message through there, and I don't know, let me know what you think. From what I can tell online, it looks like a super cool place. They focus more, they really focus on notebooks in the sense that they are, I think, made in-house, and you can get a Jenny Bick notebook embossed, and you can get all kinds of, you know, the kind of leathery, covery, wrappy, all kinds of different stuff like that. Plus what looked to be some of the ones that we're more familiar with, like the traveler's notebooks and that kind of thing. So I'm sort of excited to gear myself up for getting a nice notebook cover when I go there. And I'm gonna really build it in and have a nice visit and kind of take some time and see what it is they have to offer. But that's Jenny Bick Custom Journals. Looks super cool. Gonna see what I find. Make it a little bit special. Kind of take the opposite approach from the I don't need anything and say more like I can tell they make really nice stuff, so maybe kind of open myself up to getting one sort of really nice thing while I'm there. So that's in Washington, D.C. I mean, if anybody has any recommendations beyond that, let's see. I think the other one I'm going to key in on is called Steadfast Supply. Thoughts on that too? I'd appreciate it. I couldn't. I thought I'd be able to find like a Washington D.C. You know, stationery guide to the city, but I didn't. I didn't come across anything. Just for the magic of Google, so I did a little bit of Yelping and that kind of thing.
You should check out the Holocaust Museum.
Let's do this again next week, Adam. What do you say, bud?
Sounds good, Ted. Talk to you later.
Bye.